Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. Last week's podcast was about people who had difficulty saying no to animals and some people, including yours truly, which is kind of amazing when you consider how old I am and how small I am and that I have bum knees and hips and can't run all that fast and have absolutely no knowledge of the martial arts or how to use a weapon. But in the realm of the human-animal bond, this population is relatively small compared to the number of people who have trouble dealing with it when their animals just say no. Why do we take it so personally when our animals misbehave? I have seen the most all-positive person turn into a raving maniac when their dog disobeyed. The same thing with horses. And when people freak out when horses misbehave, I have to admit, that freaks me out a heck of a lot more than when dogs misbehave because horses are big. And you do something stupid around a horse and they could kill you, for heaven's sakes. But aside from this, the primary problem here is that it does nothing to answer the question of why the animal was displaying the behavior that the person found so intolerable. As long as we're so caught up in what the behavior means to us and what the behavior says about us, and in some cases our ability to control, there's that word again, our own or perhaps any animal, what does doing this do to help resolve the problem? Well, the answer to that is obvious, nothing. If anything, such an over and inappropriate reaction to an animal who's displaying a problem behavior can make the situation worse rather than better. And here I'm just going to speak primarily about dogs and cats because that's my area of expertise. Animals who display behaviors that we consider evil, wrong, and otherwise negatively are not doing so because they hate us or because they don't want us to be in charge. Quite the contrary, and especially with dogs, the majority of dogs that I see displaying behaviors that their owners find reprehensible are in behavioral or physical pain. They're not doing it to embarrass us. They're not doing it because they hate us. They are doing it because there is something about the situation that makes this what they perceive as the only viable option. Because of that, when we lose our cool, and you notice here, I'm not talking about a simple, authoritative, calm no. I'm talking about these fear and emotion-driven responses of ours that are in response to a fear-based behavior in the animal. You don't have to think about it very long before you realize that responding fearfully to a fearful response probably isn't going to get you anywhere. It's certainly not going to calm the animal, is it? Because there's no reason for the animal to calm. If we, the biped, supposedly intelligent with a bigger brain and the opposable thumb and the keys to the car can't cope, what kind of message are we giving to the animal? So the next time one of your animals does something that makes you want to do more than just a calm, cold, unemotional no, stop. Think about what you're doing. Think about what the animal is doing. Sometimes we do stupid things. Maybe you're perfect, but I'm not. And I know I have done stupid things with my animals at one time or another. But once you understand where the animal's behavior is coming from and where our behavior is coming from, that makes it a lot easier to summon the self-control, to summon the self-confidence, and respond like a mature adult.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.